Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the PKN Bible Challenge, and right now, today's show is going to be it's going to be postponed for right now due to technical difficulties. But however, I got Evangelist Ty T.C. Nelson on the line with me tonight. Evangelist Ty.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. So, Evangelist Ty, since we have the night open to ourselves, I just want to ask you, do you remember your last show you did?
Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah, the city that the Spirit lives in every city.
Okay, so what I want to talk about is 3 years ago I did a show about Sodom and Gomorrah, and I just, like, so we're going to sort of compare notes. And one of the things is that that you were saying that Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked cities, that the sin just was given off from just those two cities. And the only thing that was apparently going to save them was Lot. And once the angels came upon Lot, you know, the first thing is the first sign of them seeing the angels, the first thing they wanted to do was molest these angels. And that was, you know, covered in Genesis. And when they did that, these men were so wicked that they didn't even see that they were angels set upon them. They just had lust in their heart, and they tried to break down Lot's door. And when they did that, Lot offered him his daughters. And, you know, the strange thing about that was they didn't want that either. They wanted those guys, those angels. And, you know, the funny thing about, you know, the whole thing of Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah was just not that, you know, the evil that it presented. It was the evil that spread. And you want to talk about that, Evangelist Todd?
Well, when we talked about it, we were more focused on the demons that was in the city. And when God destroyed it, made his judgment, his revenge upon the city, how when the people had died, the demons were set free. And those demons are influencing so many friends, influence us through the centuries. That's, you know.
Okay. All right, so and one of the things I had discovered, too, was that there was a TV program where there was proof of Sodom and Gomorrah existing. The only thing was they could not find was that how was that power disintegrated those two cities. And at that time, there were no nuclear weapons. There was nothing of any kind of magnitude that would cause that kind of destruction, and there was concentrated. And from what the scientists described was that the destruction of those two cities were the equivalent of a microwave exploding foil in the microwave. So I know it seems, you know, somebody say, well, that's far-fetched, that's incredible, but it doesn't seem incredible to me, because if this is an act of God, then yes, it fits perfectly through the scheme of what happened there.
I attended Eagle Eye Bible Ministry Institute, where I was licensed through my I have a professor, his name is Apostle Duncan. He took a journey over to see Sodom and Gomorrah. He pulled back a picture of Lot's wife that stands there today, and saw it, you know. And he said, as you walk through the city around outside the city, you can find the sulfur is still laying in the ground, you know. Mankind has this belief sometimes that it's hard for them to swallow something when they did not experience, you know. It's hard for us sometimes to believe that really did happen. You know, when you don't understand God, you don't understand the powers or the movement of God, you know. You can't recognize that. That's why you have scientists trying to prove that the Red Sea, did it really split or not, you know, did it really part, you know. It's the curiosity of did or didn't it, you know. So for some people, it's hard for them to swallow the fact that did happen. But like you said, the proof is there.
Right.
The proof
is
there.
So, and that was on the episode of What on Earth, did I uncover that? And that was episode 3 of What on Earth. So it's a scientific TV program that comes on. It's called What on Earth. And that was season 1, episode 3.
Right.
Where there was, so, you know, just in case anybody want to reference this, you know, the scientific proof that, you know, that happened there. So I got a question for you, Evangelist Todd. So, you know, it's so hard to get people interested in church. And getting them interested in church, you have to have some kind of pizzazz or some kind of flash sometimes. And if you had, if you had the idea of opening up your church, what would your church name be?
It's a good question. I never thought about opening up a church, you know.
Right. Okay, so I'll give you my idea. Go ahead, Evangelist.
What you going to say? I'm not going to say that come up the top of my head trying to figure out a name.
I'm going to tell you the name I came up with. So the name I came up with, I see a lot of First Baptist Church, you know, when I'm driving around. And every once in a while, I might see a Second Baptist Church. So I said, well, I bet you I'll get their attention if I have the Last Baptist Church. And maybe somebody will say, oh, Revelations is here now. Oh, I think I better get myself together and get in there.
Yeah. I believe I would call it, man, for believers. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because we have to get an understanding what you said about how people put this pizzazz and this and that for church. You know, when you're putting up pizzazz and things, it reminds me back, it goes back to the Bible when Apostle Paul and Silas was in Philippians and they were casting out demons through the mission of the Holy Spirit. And when the guy asked him, how much does that cost? He said, for what? For that Holy Spirit, for that power. And he didn't get the concept that it's not a price. You know what I mean? It's not something that's of glitter. It's not something that's of shining. It's not something that you can – it's not a tangible thing. The Holy Spirit is not a tangible thing, but he's tangible. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not something that you would want for a personal gain. Well, take me back to the book of Eli. When the one guy wanted the Bible so bad, the one guy asked him, why do you want this book so bad? So all that they had went through, whatever had happened at that time period, he knew. He had the concept knowing that if he had the Holy Bible, he can control the people. See, the Word of God is that powerful for those who know the Word of God. You know, God's words don't need a tent. God's words don't need no lights. God's words don't need pizzazz, how you put it like that. God's Word itself is pure enough for those that seek it will come to it. It calls out to them. I mean, that's why I would call my church the House of the Believers. Because I know I'm not in a religion. Because when I study the Word of God, God never told me have religion in Christ. He said have belief. Belief is the foundation that I know that anything that I go through, anything I'm about to face, I have with the trust, belief, and faith in God, and three things that come together. It's that trust in Jesus is making that makes me want to call on his name. It's the believe in Jesus, knowing what I ask him to do, he's going to do. It's that builds that faith in Jesus, knowing I don't have to worry about nothing I ever go through. You know what I mean? So it's about belief. It's not about a religion. Religion is man-made. It has so much structure into it. And when you go to churches today, it's got all this structure. And you got to pay this. You got to pay that. You got to pay these dues. You got to pay these dues. The Word of God don't say nothing about no dues but tithing. That's the one thing God says in the Bible. And when you read the Word of God, when he's telling you why you're paying your tithing, first of all, when you look at your tithing, that house you're going into, it needs electric. It needs water. You want to be cool in the hot time. You want to be heated in the summer and in the cold time. So that house needs things. So your tithing pays that, you know?
Amen.
Being an armor bearer put me behind. God put me in the back of the house with my past. So I got to see the structure that God wanted for his house. We get the understanding why we pay our tithing. And, yes, our tithing pays the pastor. Because it says in the Word of God, take care of your pastors. So, for me, my church would be called the House of the Believers because your belief and believing God, it shows. You know, your faith in Christ shows. You see that strength on somebody. That's why when your strength is that and your belief that strong in Christ, people come to you. They can recognize that belief that's so strong in you that they're pulling and they're plugging into. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So all that
Amen.
pizzazz and all that this and that for that, that's of Lucifer. That ain't got nothing to do with God. Because when you read the Old Testament, they didn't even really, you know, before the first church was established, they didn't have no churches. You know, when Jesus was walking around, you know what I'm saying? They was out in tents. You know? So
what did you
like Jesus say?
So as far as the word of God, what does a church consist of?
You.
Two,
when you were together.
Yeah, two or more
when two or more together.
Together.
Yeah, when two or more gather together. That's the church, because you got to understand what church is. The word of this, the church is connected to God. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
If you say church, when you say church to somebody, the first thing and only thing they pop in their mind is, so you recognize the church is identified to God. So when two and Jesus said two or more are together, you're having church. That means the word of God is being preached at that time to bring the spirit of God to that place. Because when we know, when we every time you go into a church, it's just the building. And see, that's why they have the setup, the praise team and worship team before the word comes. Because those things in praising God in Psalms 150 tell you, you're bringing the spirit down to you. That
Amen.
Church is just a building. That church is just a building. It don't come holy until you call the Holy Spirit to come down there, who brings the Spirit of God after he has come to recognize that he's being called for. Once that Spirit comes there, then and now you're having what God considers to be church, because it's full of people agreeing upon praising God. You can be in the streets, you can be in your car, you can walk out. It don't make a difference every time Jesus and I evangelize on the streets of Coastville, we have in church. And you'll be surprised when that Spirit is on you how many people want to come up and have church with you.
All right,
all right. Spirit, not the builder, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I mean, thanks for, you know, sharing that part, because that's very important. And when you said, you know, that when you praise and worship God, and, you know, and you bring on the Holy Spirit, you know, a lot of people don't really understand that the structure of churches is how it's meant to be. You know, the moment that service is over, do you notice how all fastly people flock together and they
just left the presence
of the Holy Spirit right there.
Oh,
they didn't even walk out the door.
They haven't even
left the
building yet. But see,
right.
And then
you just get into that unholy spirit after being
right.
in a holy place.
But see, that's God's proof right there,
right.
The difference between the church and the church. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Y'all left. Y'all just had. It always messed me up. How can you just sit under that word that God just taught you? How come it don't make you want to run and go give it to somebody? But as soon as church over, you want to sit there and talk about that person. Talk about. That's why after church, I just leave. There's no point for me being in no more. When the Spirit's going, I'm going. You know, I'm not going to sit there and dwell with demons. That means that whole time, this is only my thoughts and I'm not saying it what it is or saying that's what it is, but it seems to be that way. It seems to me that whole time you sat there using a traditional state of mind, just getting up and going to church because your family did that. Because after church, it didn't touch your spirit enough to want to spread that word. It is impossible
Amen.
For me to sit under the word of God and not want to go do something with it. It's impossible. I'm sorry, for me. I'm like I said, I'm only speaking for me. I'm not speaking for whoever's out there listening.
Todd, I totally understand that feeling that you have. Because I've had that feeling many a time. The first thought that came to me was, what were we all here sitting for if the very second the service ends, we go into gossip?
And you gotta remember,
you know,
God,
what happened to how you doing? How's your family? How's your mom doing?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
stuff
can
like
I
that
pray for you. Yeah, and you gotta remember too, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't start off bad; it just turned out that way. They was praising
That's
God;
right.
they was doing
That's
everything
right.
supposed to be of God. But then those fleshly desires let them into what Jesus and I call the I factor, the pride factor, turned them away. Apostle Paul said it that. A demon said that a man in later times would turn away from faith and turn to impure doctrine of demons, because it's more easier for you to satisfy your wants when this is going your way. But when God said to do it this way, it's going against your wants because that doesn't feel comfortable to you. So when you're sitting in church that whole time through the praise, through the worship, through the word of God, through all that's there, and at the end of church you're going to sit there and start pointing your finger and talking about people, you are under the whole and umption of a demon from the beginning
Amen.
Of church to the end of church. I don't care how, if the word of God right now, if someone's sitting and listening saying, that's what you're doing in church, and you're sitting there saying, that ain't me, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. Yes, it is. If you walk into the house of God with the intentions of evil, you're not going to receive nothing, God says. When you get up in, first of all, I was taught, my old school pastors taught me, Saturday night, you should be preparing yourself for Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So Sunday morning when you get up, as an exorcist, I've learned when I get up in the morning, I pray. Not only just to thank God, but there were some things last night that Lucifer tried to do, so thank God for stopping that plan, and also thank God and cover myself for the day I'm going to walk into. So I'm going to church
right.
in the morning. My mind is focusing on praising God. So when you get to church, you're bringing the right spirit to this. So now God can connect to you and give you it so you can receive from him. The only way you can receive from God is to be connected. If you're not connected, you're not going to receive. Your desires is what connects you. So you sit there, and that's why I always sit in the front of the church, and God always points it out. How many times you sat and the pastor always said, well, those in the back seat with them turn them cell phones off. You actually got a cell phone on in the church?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real? Like, that's more important. People don't understand when you go to God's house. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you go to what we call God's house, or God's house is anywhere God is at. If you're somewhere, God is at that house. You know what I'm saying? If you flow with the Spirit,
right.
the Spirit flowing with you, wherever you at, God right there. So what can people consider to be God's house? Because again, Holy Spirit, you're gathering in a building to praise God, but you're bringing evil intentions. So you're only going to church for traditional reasons. You don't understand the fact that this is a time period right now for you to get things straight with God.
Amen.
That's the most.
Yeah, so it's like you said, it's all about structure and, you know, and preparedness. Just like, you know, when you went to school. When you went to school, you know what I'm saying? You had a good night's sleep. You had
Amen.
All the books you needed.
Yes, you did.
Then you went to class. You would learn something eventually at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's
the
same thing with church and the same structure
same
church.
Same thing.
What you put
same
into
thing.
It is what you want to get out. If you seek knowledge, you'll get knowledge. The same thing with the body of the church. You know, if you want to come there to seek knowledge, you want to come to seek, you know, God and get closer to God, this is where you're supposed to be at.
Supposed to be.
In the structure of church. If you want to know about the structure of church, read 1st and 2nd Corinthians when Paul's letter to the church. When he let them know how far that they got away from what they traditionally are supposed to do, what they are supposed to do, and how they're supposed to do it.
Right.
There's not anybody that's more holier than Jesus, you know, but
no one.
What he said is even though we can't be Jesus, we can
get
close to Jesus.
That's right.
All
right.
So in order to get close to Jesus, then we had to prepare our mind and body and also be prepared to fight the spiritual warfare that come along with being a Christian, being
see,
a part
right there,
of a body of truth.
Right. Right there, my brother, lies the problem. Because the eye factor sits right there. The eye factor sits right there. That thin line, to be obedient to God, you must deny yourself. To be obedient to God, you must turn away from you. My mentor said it the best, Apostle Paul, I've crucified my flesh daily. You know what I'm saying? Jesus said it the best, any man that believeth in me, let him pick up his cross and follow me. You pick up that cross every single day is to crucify your flesh, fighting these everyday demons, denying yourself a fleshly thing that you know that does not bring you to God. If you're designed to be the God, you got to shed your flesh. There's no way you can get close to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus did say you can't serve two masters. God tells you his own word what you have to do. But the I factor comes in. When the I factor comes in, you cannot forget about demons. And that's where mankind failure is at, because you keep forgetting about these spiritual beings. Thank you. They're called disembodied impure spirits. It's hard for mankind to realize something disembodied unless you're watching a movie of a ghost or something.
Okay.
We don't really get grasp upon disembodied spirits. But we have a world full of these fallen angels that we cannot see that affects us every single day in our decisions. Matter of fact, in the lesson that Jesus and I preached about, he spoke about a man that went to work and he had a terrible day at work and how he stumbled up the staircase. His secretary spilled coffee on him. It was 100-degree weather and the air conditioner broke down. An irate customer came in and wanted to sue them. Then on the way leaving home, he went into traffic for over hours. Then when he get home, food ain't done, the kids is running, he loses control. Demons sit back and wait. They watch us. They learn your pattern. And once they see their moments of where you lose control, that's when they're waiting for the next opportunity to slip in. When they do that, we have all these problems. When you don't want to go to church in the morning, you have to ask yourself, why do I want to go there? Why can't I go respect God? That's that demon
Amen.
Trying to tell you, oh, you sleeping, you tired, you know what I mean? You got to work tomorrow. You know, you worked all, you work, or my favorite one, you work Saturday night, get off Saturday night and got off late, and you know, you come Sunday morning, you know, you got to go to church. My dad and my grandfather always told me, never let your night affect your day. If I go to church in the morning, if I go off work at 12 o'clock at night, then I should go home and go straight to bed, preparing myself for church. You come home and watch TV at 3, 4 in the morning, then he can't go to sleep. Then he goes to sleep, and like he can't get up. He had demon right there telling you, go ahead, man, go ahead and sleep. He got work. He tired. Go ahead, get that. No. Get up, shake that off, and go get God with your kid. Because you got to realize everything you have from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday was given to you by God. Sunday is an opportunity, a time place. You can go in what's considered to be a construction building and go thank God and praise God for that last week. You do have another week you're getting ready to come up to. You know what I'm saying? When you get the best
Amen.
Concept of God, when you get the good concept of God, you know why you're going to church. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You got to know.
That's
you got to
right.
get up in the morning and know why you're going to ask yourself, why am I? I used to ask myself, why the host, why are you going to church today? Learn how to praise God. Okay. Why you want to learn how to praise God? Well, break me down with these questions. So when I get to church, my mind is focused on the word that's come. My favorite time period of church is when the word's being preached. So I'm focused.
Right.
I'm praising. I'm singing. But I'm anxious and waiting for that word because me, I know God got something to say. If he's not talking to me, he got something to say to somebody. And because it's falling on my ears, I can go deliver it to them. You know what I'm saying? We got to have a right,
right.
set of mindset when we're going to church. Know why you're going to church.
That's right. That's right.
No.
And you know, so the sermons that we hear in church, you know, it's for us to carry us from 1 week to the next. And the
Amen.
Reason why, you know, so many people say, well, oh, I think he's talking to me. Oh, you know what? He wasn't probably particularly talking to you, but he was talking to the whole body of the church. The reason why everybody
right.
has that same feeling, like, oh, he was preaching on me, or he was talking about what it is to carry y'all out throughout the week and to have something in common where you can fellowship and you can also progress and the word that he left with you, so that way you have something to carry yourself on. Don't forget, these
yeah.
sermons are more like school. Everything is structured.
Yeah.
So when he
yeah.
gives a sermon, he's giving you a homework assignment. That homework
yes,
assignment
is
yeah,
come on
you don't remember everything. But as you start reading back on the word that it was preached, then you can say, oh, you know what? I remember. Oh, you know, and you start calling somebody, you call another church member, and they start responding
yeah.
on what they discovered in the word, and then and from there on in until we get back to Sunday. And
yeah.
don't forget the all-important part of, you know, church. You know, when I was going to church early in my life, even though I didn't understand everything that was formulating and the thing that was shaping me in my mind was Sunday school. And Sunday school
mm-hmm.
is important because that's where
yes, it is.
Individual parts of the Bible gets broken down into
mm-hmm.
an understanding. And so once you get that understanding, then you get that knowledge, and you can
Amen.
Grow. Okay, and
Amen.
So that's the very reason why, you know, each and every night or day or whatever time of the day, you go ahead and read your Bible, read any portion of the Bible. You can start from the beginning to the end. But the whole
Amen.
Thing is that you'll get understanding, you'll get knowledge. And, you know, and getting that knowledge is good. And a lot of people want to say, let's do away with the Old Testament. We don't do stuff like that anymore. But there was a reason
mm.
why. There was a reason why we did it. And there's a reason why there's a New Testament. And the purpose of what I'm saying is that there's a religion I'm not going to name that stopped at the Old Testament and said, you know, Jesus never came. We're still waiting for him.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
We're all still waiting for him to come back. But to that certain religion, he never came. But to let you know that how diligent people were between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years had transpired. And in them 400 years, everybody that was putting together the Bible were diligent. They made sure that their generations was taking care of the Word of God so that once it was in this final conception, that it would be put together. And, yes, there are people out there that saying, who were these people? We don't trust them. Well, just like you were saying, like in the Book of Eli, the movie that you were just talking about.
The Book of Eli.
Yeah, the Book of Eli. So in that movie, you didn't see how, you know, these people passed on from generation to generation of how the word was supposed to be kept and how the scrolls were kept, you know, in a vault.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody knew where that vault was and who those people were, there would be no Bible right now today.
This is true.
And so, you you have to ask yourself, you know, how dedicated are you to doing
Amen.
What you're doing that God had put you on earth? Because don't forget, even if you see a bum on the street, God put him on this earth for something and to do something. There's no – God doesn't make doorways. God does not have outcasts. He doesn't.
Nah.
You know, God created man in his own image. And in his own image, it is, you know, in through the word and of the word. And so no matter how you look at somebody and, you know, what you think and your perceptions of somebody, you know, you have to think again. You know, someone's looking at the same way you're looking at the bum and you're saying, oh, he's dirty, he's crusty, he's nasty, he's ugly. Somebody's looking at you the same way. Somebody's passing judgment on the same way. Even though you don't look like him, but guess what? When people have their ugly wrath and they start flinging, you know, mud on people, they don't care how you really look or how you really are. They're going to throw each and everything at you. But guess what?
Yes,
you know, even through the worst of things, you know, a rose will grow. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and guess what? Fertilizer, it makes roses grow. So the more crap people throw on you, the better you'll look at the end.
Amen.
So you don't have to, don't worry about each and everything and each and every slander, each and every, you know, snobbish remark. You know, you have to soldier on. You know, this is a war. This is a spiritual war, and, you know, we're going to be fighting this every day. You know, once you become a Christian, this is not something you check off on your bucket list and say, okay, I've done that. No. Once you've done it, you got to keep soldiering on. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the road. You know, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. Okay?
Amen.
So, you know, we gotta keep going on. And, you know, and we can't forget that, you know, we all in a struggle, one sort of another. And, you know, and the one thing that we do know that there is no getting out of life alive. So we might as well lift up his name and live holy and live righteous as much as we can. And so I want to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah again. And the one thing that you said was that when it was destroyed, you know, only thing that it did was it left a home that was destroyed for the demons of the dwelling. So they dispersed.
Yeah.
And like we said, how people, you know, as soon as they leave church, you know, they start going into sinful ways. Those demons got into Lot's daughters. And even his wife. His wife was compelled to look, and she was told not to look back.
Her heart was tied to the city.
Right. And so through that, the sinful ways, the demons, you know, they got into, you know, Lot's daughter, his daughters. And they told him, you know, you no longer have husbands. They were in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was consumed by fire. And they said, you know, get your dad drunk and you know, conceive your child.
Yeah, no man will want you. Yeah, who men will want you now? That's how demons work.
Exactly.
That's how they get to you.
And that's so, how they... You know, through the inner workings of that, you know, came about the Amorites and the Moabites.
Right.
And, you know, as we start reading the Bible later on, that came about Ruth. And that was the only thing that was good about the whole thing. And the whole thing was that, you know, when the Moabites and the Amorites, when they were fighting, they didn't know they were relatives. They were totally 100% relatives and didn't know it. And that's how, you know, demons work, where you have a common good to work alongside each other, but the dividing factor is what mitigates you from coming together in the first place. And that's, you know, one of the tragedies that happened with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is that demons dispersed all throughout the world, where, you know, it became not only commonplace, but it became a habit of, you know, acting in sinful ways.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the one big example I can give you is Las Vegas, where they call it Sin City.
Huh.
You know, why do you think they call it Sin City? Because nothing's good is going on under that umbrella of the Las Vegas title.
Everything.
You know, you have many things going on. You have people meeting on site, marrying. You have all kinds of things happening. You know, all kind of fornication, all kinds of things. You know, going
Everything.
On. And, you know, there is people that want to imitate that city. They want that Las Vegas feel. And they think it's a good thing. But, you know, don't forget, when you leave God out of the equation and you don't put any kind of input with God and you just put what man thinks is good, you know, most likely it's not. It's not a good thing at all.
Right.
One thing
we have to get to understand is, you know, God said you got to study to show yourself approved. When you study the word, the word of God, God shows you where areas he's approving you at. You know, first of all, the wisdom of God will always open your eyes up to things, you know. And it always leads back to me and young man was having a discussion the other day about desires. He wanted to keep saying that, that our desires don't bring us down. Yes, our desires do. Our desires is our free will. Whatever we want to do, we can go do. So what are you designed to do? You know, whatever you design you're going to do, you're going to follow that. You know, Matthew 7, 21 and 23 tell you what lies inside of a man's heart defiles him. You know, when you're reading the Word of God,
right.
and that's the thing about it. That's what the Word of God, at least for me, it changed me. When I'm reading Mark 7, 21 and 23, and they're telling me that what lies inside of me of fornication, adultery, and all these things that lies inside of me that defiles me, it's that those are the aspects that demons use to get to you. This is the list of assignment that the Lucifer gets to assign to his demons to go out to attack you. Whatever you have in you is what's going to bring the demons to you. You know, when we start looking...
Mm-hmm.
We want to say that we're pleasing God, but really God has no nothing to do with nothing you want to do. You're done. Actions
right.
prove that. Your actions prove that. The only thing that's ever going to change for anyone. You know, you can talk and we can talk and we can talk and we can talk. If God's words is not going to change them, what think your words is? What made you change
right.
and start walking? What made you change and start walking in that path? God did something that made his words come very important to you, but you have
That's
to
right.
study them to be approved. God, by studying God's words, everything that's inside you that defiles you, God going to put it right there in front of you. And if you truly, your heart's truly tied to get near unto God, you're going to cast that demon out. You're going to cast that demon out. Go cast that one out. Because you're starting to realize the most important thing in your life is Christ and to be with God. And these things here is stopping you. So your desires are going to change. When your desire changes, you had certain fights you have to worry about no more. God's knocking them demons out for you. Because if you don't have it in you, a demon can't come at you with it. It's not going to work. You know?
That's right.
So from Sodom and Gomorrah, like going to our churches and proving a time period the demons are still here, didn't go nowhere. We know these things, and yet we really do nothing about it. You know? We put things off. Oh, I ain't got to worry about that. But like you said, you're in the middle of a war. And when you accept
right.
Christ, your personal Savior, you got on a different team now. You wasn't sitting on the sideline. You walking with Lucifer. You're in a war fighting against God. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you switch sides now. You realize that side is the right side to be with. So you're on the right side to fight with. So you're in a war every single day. That's the concept that men, that demons have people not understanding or looking or seeing. When you think doing right, yeah.
That's right. Go ahead.
You're doing the right, that pride, when you think you're doing right, can't nobody come and tell you nothing until you fall on your feet. We always say, always says a kid to mankind or whatever, we always say experience is the best teacher. Experience means you went through something and now you have the experience of it. So whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is, when you turn and the guy start walking in him, he has to let you see what's in you to get rid of it. You can pluck it out of you. So you can't come closer to him. So when you start seeing these things, you start uprooting these trees up out of you. But when you start seeing these things and you start liking these things, you're going to turn back to those things and stay with those things.
That goes to what I wanted to talk about was your mindset.
Right.
That's something you can change. And, you know, I know you've been in the military like I have been. And, you know, when you are about to go to war or there's a possibility of war, you know, you prepare yourself. And they want to make sure. They want to make sure everybody's psychologically sound. That means so when you go in there, you can count on the next guy next to you. You know, and that's how, we have to make sure that, you know, there are things that we're going to hear or say. But there's some things that we can do is prepare our mind. You know, one of the things we hate to hear is that we failed. But if you you put it like in different and you look at it in a different aspect, you can look at it the first attempt in learning. And so you see what I did? I used that word fail and I turned it into first attempt in learning. And sometimes we hear, hey, we're at the end now or this is the end. The end, we can change that too. It's like we can just change the words to efforts never die. You know, it's the same thing. And then And then we always hear the word no. When we hear the word no, we're thinking that's it. It's final.
Yeah.
I use the word no and say next opportunity. Next opportunity.
Yep.
There's always an opportunity. There's always a door opening when one closes. When one closes, another one's opening.
Right.
And you have to make sure you just prepare yourself and put yourself in a mindset that when I walk out this door, I just got finished praying. Just like when church ends in service, there's going to be something out there waiting to ruin my day. And the one thing and how I countered that before, I countered that, I never had a bad day in my life. That's what I said. I never had a bad day in my life. And then when I look at it and break it down, I never did have a bad day in my life. I might have bad moments.
I just let the moment pass,
and I got the rest of the day to myself.
Yeah.
I don't let things hold me down and hold me back. Because like you said and everybody else says, you know, we are from this world, but we're not a part of this world.
I mean,
you know, we have to put ourselves and concentrate and protect our mind, because that is the first part that's going to be attacked. And if we don't train our mind to, you know, put up roadblocks and be prepared, you know, for pitfalls and things of that nature, you know, we're going to always keep going back in that loop of that backslider, where it's like, oh, yeah, I was doing good until we want to eliminate that. You know, we don't want to try. We want to do. This is something that, you know, it's like I said, it's not a one-time effort. This is a lifetime effort. This is where you're going to be from now or for when you, you know, profess that you are renouncing sin and you moving forward forever in a new life. You know, we can't move forward unless we have ourselves in the right mindset. If you're not in the right mindset, you know,
right.
like I said, you know, if you want to kill a snake, you kill it, you know, you chop the head off and you kill the body. It's the same thing with you, you know, and like you said before, there's demons assigned to us. Like they're on a football team. They're special demons. They know what
yeah.
you like. They know what excites you. And they try to just get in your life and latch onto you and attack you and bring you down. That's the only purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way we can fight that is we prepare our minds. Before you are ready to fight, you prepare your mind. You prepare your mind. And, you know, like I said, it's a combat situation. It's a combat situation.
Yep.
You're fighting for your soul. You want to make sure that you preserve your soul. You're the one that wants your soul to go to heaven. And, you know, when you get to heaven, yes, you're going to see some people you know, and there's going to be some people that's not going to be there.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that you're there, and that's where you want to be at. You know, I can't imagine a friend of mine saying, hey, my intention is going to hell. You going with me? No.
Nah, dog.
No. You know, I don't care how cool you are or whatever, or, you know, how good friends you are. You know what? You're going one way, and I'm going another way. There's no way I'm going to say, you know what? You're so cool. I want to go with you. No. I want it to be the opposite way. I want it to be the opposite way. You know, when I say, you know, I want to get to heaven, you know. And I did a show a couple of weeks ago was, do you really want to get to heaven? And that was, you know, that was a question I asked. Do you really want to go to heaven? And I know everybody's going to say, I'm not going to say no, but what do your actions? You know, how do your actions hold up to that?
Yeah.
So we're getting close to the call of salvation. And if you don't mind, Evangelist Todd, if you do the call of salvation.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 My brothers, my sisters out there, if you're listening to what my brother, me and my brother Rob and I are talking about, and you know you're struggling with some things, and you know that Jesus is the only way you can get over these things, or you know the only help you know that can truly help you is Jesus, repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask of you to come into my heart, for I accept you as my personal Savior. For I need your help to get my life straight. If you have said this, then Jesus Christ, you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And as always, we strongly advise you to pray for God to lead you to a Bible-based study in church. In Jesus' name. Brother Rob?
All right. Amen. Real quickly, I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements. This is the Product of Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, whether listen to us online or via phone, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we broadcast it live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And when we do a live show, the phone number to call in is 319-527-6091. And all you have to do is press the number 1, and we'll get you in as quickly as we can. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is at Purpose Kingdom, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And from time to time, we do make major announcements on the social media pages as well as others. We're also on Instagram and Twitter under the handle Purpose_Kingdom. Also, if you want to listen to 24 hours of music of inspiration, please check out PKN.com. Yes, we do have our very own radio network, which is PKN.com, where you can listen to 24 hours of music of inspiration and enjoyment. Okay, and we do have a show tomorrow at the 9 p.m. hour. Please check us out. Well, guys, on God's blessing, please join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. Right now, I don't have a show listed, but we will have a show tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. Don't forget to tune in and, you know, come right back here at 9 p.m. And with that being said, that's going to be the end of the announcements, and we're going to get back into our discussion that me and Evangelist Todd were having. So,
amen.
Yeah, so Evangelist Todd, as we start wrapping up, overall, what do you think?
Overall, we need to get a better understanding of God. You know, God tells us everything. God tells us that your thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. We have to get an understanding. But when we read in the Word of God, God is talking to us. He is trying to teach. We always say the Bible stands for basic instructions while before leaving Earth. Well, if this is your basic instructions before leaving Earth, why are you not paying attention to it? And like you said earlier, anytime you go to a job, they have rules. They have regulations. You have to study their rules and stuff like that to follow each and every day on the job so you can keep that job. And yet you follow those rules and regulations every single day like it's nothing to you. But when it comes to the Word of God, you tend to forget the instructions God is trying to give you for a better life and a better afterlife. You know, we have to start putting ourselves aside and truly, truly desire the Spirit of Christ, because the Spirit of Christ is love. And if you're not having love for somebody, God, you need to check yourself, even for your enemies. As God said, love thy enemies. I've learned personally for having love for my enemies. We became friends these days. I walk down the street, I see him, we shake hands, we laugh. Even when you think about what situation that made us enemies, you look at that, you're like, man, that was childish back then. And I always say, well, we were children, and we were in a children's state of mind. You know what I mean? We have to really, really desire to be with Christ, to walk this life, you know? And the only way you're ever going to achieve truly pleasing God is denying your flesh daily. Check. When God told Isaiah, I'm going to put coal in your mouth to clean your mouth up, that insinuates to me that he was a curse to somebody that would talk, wasn't properly talking. He didn't have the right tongue that God needed to put his words on. So if this is a prophet of God, so God had to change his mouth, because God did tell us, take filthy conversations out of your mouth. You know, we really got to take it literally, because it's not a game.
That's right.
When you leave earth, you know, death is imminent. Eternal is forever.
That's
you're
going
to face death and then live for eternity. Where you want to be is where you want to be at. Even right now, even though I pray that everything I'm doing is getting me into heaven, I don't know until I stand in front of my judgment and he tell me where I'm truly going. But I do know this much, though. I'm going to keep doing everything that I know I can do so I know when he's standing in front of me, I got a better account of saying come in instead of going away. You know?
All right.
It starts with you. It ends with you. Jesus said, you
That's
take
right.
one step towards me, I'll take two steps towards you. He said, if you, not y'all, if you take one step towards me, I'll take two towards you. You got to build that personal relationship up with Christ. You got to get deep into it. You got to see, because you don't see him, does that mean he's not there? He is there.
That's right.
And believe me, and for everyone that's a power, that the pastor has that power of prayer upon them, you've seen him, you felt him. He is there. We have to open our minds to that spiritual realm. You can watch a scary movie and recognize that scary that realm of evil, but you block the realm of good. I'm not saying that thing that's not real. You know,
you can't
have Lucifer without God. You cannot have Lucifer without God. God is in control of everything. Lucifer bowed down to him. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, tell you that. So God is the ultimate one. We have to learn to take these words that God did. If you apply to God's words in your life, you will see a change come up in your life. But you got to apply words.
Let me tell you something. Man, I mean, as far as me, man, the incredible transformation that God done in my life is, you know, and I look back and I say, wow, I can't believe that he brought me from that far. And yes, he will. You know, God in your life, he can accomplish anything. There was a time where I used to talk like Samuel Jackson, but worse. Let me tell you something.
Man.
He done clean that up real fast. You know, and it's like, it doesn't even flow off the tongue. You know, so I know if he can clean me up like that, you know, and that's just one aspect of my life that he done. You know, he does clean me up fantastically and phenomenally. You know, and it's just that I didn't know that I had a lack of vocabulary, and so that's how that crept in. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm just, you know, talking, you know, like I shouldn't be, but you know, that's how it was. It was just off the tongue cleanly. Now he cleaned me up and gave me a new vocabulary where I, you know, where I'm proud of, you know, doing what I'm doing and saying what I'm saying. You know, and it's not only just that. It's, like I said, many things. You know, everybody always wants to believe in something fantastic will happen, you know, a magic pill, a magic, you know, apparatus, anything. But one thing God can do is instantly. Can't nobody guarantee you nothing instantly. I know you see on TV where they say we can get you out of debt in 3 years. God can do it right now. He's a right now God. He's not, you know, he's a right now. All you got to do is ask for him. You know, there's people waiting for, you know, different kind of cures for different things. God can cure you right now. If he can kill he can cure 10 lepers in the blink of an eye, think of what he can do. He can do anything. Yes. If you tired of drinking, he can cure alcoholism. If you're on drugs, he can clean that up. Anything you ask for. And when I say anything, I mean anything. Everybody keeps thinking, well, he's not going to do that. Ask him. You know, a lot of people, one of the things that people are afraid of, that word no. What did I tell you? Next opportunity. You know, just because you hear no doesn't mean that that's the end of everything and that you, oh, man, I lost my chance. No. Go on to the next opportunity.
Yep. Yep.
No. Okay. Thank you. Next opportunity.
Yep.
That's it. That's it.
See.
You know, one thing we got to make sure that we, you know, we're always going to be constantly in motion. We can't stop and be stagnant where we get to dwell on the negative. We have to always and train our minds to always think on the positive. There's always something positive coming up. You know, when it rains, you know, it's not going to rain forever. It's going to stop sometime. You know, and, you know, just like anything that's in life, you know, if you have bad times, it's got an expiration date. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to happen forever. It's going to end. So don't worry about how long, you know, you're going through. You know, being in Christ, you know, we're going to be long sufferers. You know, we're going to suffer from time to time.
He did.
It's not all going to be joy. It's not going to be all peaches and cream. We're going to go through some trials and tribulations. We're going to be going through trying times, truly trying times. And, you know, we must be prepared. We must, you know, we're going to be facing something. We don't know what it is. We want to be faced with something. But the one thing we want to do is we want to make sure we're ready.
Amen.
That we're ready.
Say something real quick. We have to get an understanding, like, when God cleaning you up, you are when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now a representative of Christ. You represent him. And you have to represent Christ right. You have to be in the right state of mind. You have to be in the right state. When your walk shows if you're with Christ or not, you know, you can sit there and talk all day long and say you are. If it ain't seen in you, it ain't there. You know what I mean? And that's the most important thing. God is looking to do things for us. He has so much ready for us, but we're the ones blocking that. Our desires, they block all that. You know what I mean? And if God, he made us, he gave us that free will so we can be free willingly to choose to praise him and love him. You know what I mean? You can't love on God when things are going. Just don't love on God when things are going wrong and when things are right. Forget about God. God just said, praise me in the good times and the bad, and your good times will be longer. You know, if you listen to what God is saying and you do what God is saying, you will experience what he said.
Amen.
Every day. Like you said, though. It's not going to be Jesus went through things. If we study how what Jesus went through, you need to understand God lets you see how Jesus defeated Lucifer. God showed you how he went through things through his faith that got him through. Every time he went to the top of the mountain and prayed, he was worried about his thing he had to go do, and he got strength. That's what we're supposed to do. When we get weary, we go pray. We get strength. We stand through.
Mm-hmm.
We go do what God. And by Jesus doing what he did, gave him the encouragement. Because we all know Transformation Mountain, when Elijah and Moses came down and ministered to him about his mission that got him to that cross, to stay on that cross. Because at any time, he could have came off that cross.
That's
he
right.
Knew what he was looking at. But he knew if he got off that cross, Lucifer had them so twisted, we would be bent. So he stayed up there for us. John 17 tells you that. He made three prisons, John 17, for his disciples, for himself, and for his believers, the future believers. He thought about us. He wants, he's with us. You have to accept that, believe that, and walk in that. Once you do those three things, you will experience Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're getting close to the end. And I know tonight was supposed to be the PKM Bible Challenge, but we had a little technical difficulties. But, you know, this is reminding me more of Roundtable Ministries here.
There you go. And we're missing one person.
Yeah, we are, but, you know, that's cool. He, you know, that person is in the spirit, you know, with us.
Amen.
As we both tonight, you know.
Amen.
And, so I really appreciate you, Evangelist Todd, you know, for, you know, coming on and continue the show, even though we didn't have much to go on. But, you know, I'm glad that you spoke on what you spoke on as far as the demons and, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and, you know, and everything in general. Because, you know, everything was well spoken and, you know, put together good as far as the, for people to know and for, you know, to be absorbed and be knowledgeable of, you know, what we're talking about. So, you know, thanks, Todd. You know, it's always a pleasure, you know, working with you in any
you know
kind
that.
Of capacity. Yes,
amen.
Yes. So,
amen.
So, I'm going to sign off. And go ahead, Evangelist Todd, you can bring us home.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, once we always come to you, always in spirit and truth, always worshiping you, always praising you, always glorifying, always uplifting your holy and blessed name. Father God, we say thank you for tonight, Father God, for putting your message together, Father God, knowing that what you sent forth, Father, will destroy Lucifer's plans and break his strongholds and bring out his strong towers, Father God. So we say thanks, Father God. Always, Father God, just saying thank you for any time you call us to do your work, Father God. Give us the ability to ever do what we need to do for you, Father God. Give us the words to speak, Father God, through the unctions of the Holy Spirit. We say thank you, Father God. And once again, Father God, just saying thank you for all those who listen, Father God. May your words enriching their spirits, Father God, that they will stand against Lucifer and always have win through Jesus Christ. We love you. We honor you. Only to Jesus Christ, your blessed holy name, we say yes unto you. And only to Jesus Christ's name, we say amen, amen, and amen. Be blessed.
Amen, amen. All right. Good night, everybody. Have a great night. And we'll see you again soon. And please check us out at 9 p.m. tomorrow. All right. We're out of here. Peace.
Be blessed. Amen.
Jesus lives.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down. I will not lose.
He saved me.